Okay, it's December 7th, 2022, 16:24 hours. This is Ward Green. Let me show you something. I'd like to show you, if I can. One moment, please. Hang on a second. Okay, see. This is the last piece that's not split yet on this piece of ash. And I cut this piece off of this main slab here, this side of it. See, it's a nice width of slab now. It's about 10 inches or 12 inches wide in places. Or maybe on it, maybe I can get, I can't get a rectangular slab. I can't get a rectangular slab from it. It's that wide, but I can get a natural shaped slab, or I can cut more of these, whichever. But what I want to do is split this last bit here. Protection and protect your lungs and protect your ears and your eyes. Well, that's no good. Look where that's splitting. Splitting in the wrong place. Okay, just a minute. A moment here. Good, okay. Yep. Well, that was slightly unfortunate, but it was fine. So this is what happens. That is what we expect. A little bit of roughness when we're doing our own milling. It's not perfect, it looks like, but we aren't the judge of what's perfect, fortunately. So this piece also can be used for something, possibly something useful for a trim or something. But let's talk about this just a tiny bit. I wanted to show that. Okay, let's tip it up
so you can see me a little bit better. I don't know where. Here?
Is that better? That's better? Okay, good. So I'm done for the day. I'm tired. I cut this piece, off of the big slab. This was a shorter piece off the big slab because it was asymmetrical, and this piece had to come off anyway because it was thicker than all the rest. So why not use it for something? Because it's thicker, I can use it for, getting 2x2s or 2x3s out of it. Something useful for structural strength. four studs or something, you know, or wall braces or whatever. Something, top plates, bottom plates, walls. In the wall that I'm building or proposing to build, it can be useful for that too, for serving as whatever members that wall is composed of, which may not be a standard or typical stud and plate construction for a normal wall, because I want it to be lightweight, but it might have a couple of vertical side posts, and of course it will be connected by the siding, those two posts, but then it can have, it might have a couple of X braces in the middle, to like a gate would have. So it might be like that, or you know, they're just two vertical and then two cross pieces. But that, because that prevents racking, so that keeps it square having the cross pieces. But then the vertical pieces, it can be used to at the top, can be used to hang the wall, and then it can be fastened at the bottom somehow as well. But it has to be. It will be. But that's the idea. But it's very easy to come up with ideas of how to do it. The hard part is in narrowing down the idea that you're going to use, and then choosing the correct or the best, most practical option, the one that's going to be the best design. You come up with the best design. That's the hard part. It's easy to come up with some kind of design, but then end up you run out of material at the end, or or you can't fasten it because you don't have any place to attach it. There's all kinds of things that go into design. It's very multifaceted. But this is one of the most enjoyable parts, I think, of any part of design or building, construction. But I mean, if you didn't mill your own lumber from timber, then what you would do is you buy your lumber already dimensioned to the size you wanted, right? Like 2x4s or 2x6s. But if that's the case, in that case, for me, the most enjoyable part of construction was framing, which is nailing those things together, nailing the 2x4s. For 2x6s that are sort of like this size, nailing them together is the most enjoyable part for me. Even though there's a lot of other parts to finishing work and all of that, I've never done a lot of drywall, but I mean, none of that will be as interesting or as fun, anyway, as the framing, where you're just bashing nails, or you've got a nail gun maybe, but you're using nails. 3-inch nails is typical. I don't know what I'm going to do to fasten this. That's the other thing. I've got a staple gun. I have a staple gun that can fire. It's an air stapler, and it's Bostitch. It can fire long staples, so it can do the job for this cedar siding. I've already used it for cedar trim around my windows, so I'm using that same cedar, I believe. I cut cedar trim out of that cedar, and that's how I trimmed my windows down here after the construction. Tore out all the drywall, and because we had a risk of mold, or we thought we did, but so I have that staple, that air stapler, and that might be the way to nail the planks or the cedar siding onto this ash. The problem there's no problem with that. Because an air stapler will drive the staple so fast that they can penetrate very hard wood without splitting it. Whereas, I don't know why that's true, but if you try to drive nails, for one thing, you're going to bend the nails, because ash is very hard, so you're going to have to use screws or something. So there's no other way to do it. I either have to get, I've got my path load nailer, which is a finished nailer. That would also work, because all the nails for that are very lightweight. Wouldn't add much weight to the structure, but I don't think the nails would be a large component anyway. Anyway, This is fun. This is the fun part here. That's my crowbar. One of my crowbars. I have two crowbars. So I'm using my crowbars to help me pry this wood apart when it gets nearly finished up. So I mean, I made a bit of a mistake there. I lost a bit of wood there at that end. So that just means that the studs will not be absolutely perfect, but it's going to be okay, I think. They're going to do the job, whatever. But the other thing is, you never know when you're building something when you're going to need some relief in the wood for some purpose. And there's a piece of wood missing there that might provide relief when I come down to building, and I might need some place in the wood. I may not need it, but I might need it, and there it is. It's already there for me. So we don't know when we're starting to build something. I mean, we'd never start to do any dimensioning of lumber. I mean, I would not come up with a plan. I mean, I would come up with a plan, but I would never build it, because the plan is too much to build. It's not. I can't work that way. I have to be able to. I have to have the see the wood. I have to see it in my. Have it in my hand before I can get an idea for how to use it, because it's a misuse of wood to force it into a certain purpose if it doesn't suit that purpose. So, I mean, you can. I also have to have a rough idea before I start, but a fairly detailed idea, but I don't want it to be predetermined entirely. I don't want it to be written down, and I don't want to be bound by some drawing which forces me to build it that way, because it's just too complex as far as design can be improved at every stage along the way. So it's just so much fun to have that flexibility too, to alter the design as you go. So there's another piece of ash. This is almost like a 2x6 or something, but it's really fully, it's easily 2 inches in places, and not so much 2 inches in other places. There's places that are only an inch and a half or so, or inch and a quarter. So where that chunk was lost, actually that's going to be barely noticeable. If we take a thinner piece off this side, yeah, we might want tapered lumber anyway. I might not want it uniform, and if it's tapered, it's not going to be noticed as much either. I don't know yet. The exciting part of design is seeing it take shape when you're building something, and you think you make a mistake, and then you find out that that mistake gives you a new idea, and that's superior. And one reason why we might want to taper lumber is because if you're building a structure and it's all the same strength everywhere, and you put stress on it, like let's say just consider a framework, like a space frame of some kind, all these members joined together, connected, and now you put pressure on it. You can build it. Typically, you do want to build all the studs the same width, all the same size, because when the enormous weight of the house is put on the studs, you want them all to withstand that pressure the same way. You don't want one of them to break because it's beyond the breaking point because it's thinner than all the others. You want them all the same, so they can all stand up to the pressure. But if you build a structure where there's one point weaker than all the others, then it will break, right? And if the structure is the kind of structure where there's more force on it at one place than at another place, then that's the place where there's more force, where you want a thicker member or that part of the member to be thicker. Whereas if something is designed correctly, then when you put pressure on it, all of it breaks at the same time, or it doesn't break at all. That's the best way to design it, because you don't want it to break prematurely in one spot or the other. So now, not all structures are like a house where all the weight is evenly distributed, hopefully, or roughly evenly distributed.
So if the structure is the kind of structure where there's a wind blowing on it or something, or you're trying to design it to withstand the wind, then you have to determine, or you may determine, hopefully, maybe you can determine, I mean, where the wind force will be greater, make it thicker at that part. I mean, you don't need you don't want it to be thick in the places where you don't need strength, and here's why. Okay? The problem is, if you have a thicker part, a stronger part, right, then that will transfer all the force to the weaker part. So you want all of the structure to be equally weak, or equally strong, depending on how you look at it. Because if it's all equally weak, then the force is shared along the whole framework. Everywhere experiences the same amount of stress or bending, and therefore it will be able to withstand it. But if you build a structure where it's like, if you had a stud that was very thick all the way up, but then near the top it became very, very narrow, then that would be the weak point, right? And so any lateral pressure you put on that, the wider part will just transfer that force onto the thinner part. The wider part won't bend. The wider part will not bend because it doesn't bend as easily. But it will transfer the force to the thin one, which will bend, and it will break. So this idea of tapered can sometimes be the best way to design something, depending on what you're doing. It's not the idea of everything uniform in thickness. That's not the idea for the optimum design in some cases. So that's something to keep in mind, is thicker members or thicker beams transfer the force to the thinner ones. They don't share the force. They don't share that stress, right? They just transfer it. So anyway, this is Ward Green. It's 16:41 in 2 seconds, it will be. 16:41 hours, December 7th, 2022. That's all for today, I think. I'm going to be going to get these videos hopefully published right now, because I'm done here. I'm just exhausted. Bye for now. I love you. Have a great day. Thanks for watching.